Hey everyone, I hope you've checked out the Why Mommy Drinks Patreon page. It's over at patreon.com/whymommydrinks. The Why Mommy Drinks monthly subscription starts as low as $2.50 a month. And for whatever tier that you choose are some bonuses. So if you checked on our social media, you will have seen our $5 and up patrons all get a social media shout out. And pretty soon I'm going to get the video shout out for our $10 and up patrons. And today I'm giving a shout out to our $20 and up patron, Ashley Beckard. A toast to you, Ashley. Ashley, I remember you sent in a story about taking your kid to a swim class at the YMCA, and it was a nightmare. Caca. Anyway, thank you so much, Ashley, and everyone else for supporting the show. Your financial support is going to help the show continue, so check that out. www.patreon.com/whymommydrinks. And again, a toast to you, Ashley Beckard.
Why Mommy Drinks.
Hey everyone, welcome to Why Mommy Drinks. This is Betsy Stover, and this week we have a special co-host, a guest co-host, but you know her, Amy Albert.
Hi, you do know me. We're doing it.
You know Amy. She's come on the show, what, two times, three times? You've been on a bunch.
Yeah, a bunch. Yes.
And this episode, we are joined by an actor slash an actor slash magical unicorn, Jordan Scovel.
Hi, ladies.
Hey, girl, hey.
Hey, girl, hey.
Welcome to the show, Jordan. I'm so happy you're here.
Me too. I'm excited to be here.
So I have three kids. They are all boys. 4, 8, and 9. Amy, tell everybody what you got.
I have a boy and a girl. My girl is 5, and my boy is 2.5.
I have a singleton, a little girl named Elliot.
Lovely. How old is Elliot?
She turned 5 in July.
Oh, perfect.
You know, Jordan and I were actually in the same birthing class hospital.
We were.
That's so special.
Yeah. So our kids were born really close together. And do you remember how that nurse was so, we were all like so hugely pregnant and just so like, this is bullshit. Just like so sweaty just from sitting.
Yeah, and it was. And then like they didn't share half of the things that could possibly happen to you through labor and delivery.
She just kept going, babies are just such a blessing. I have 8. And let me tell you, every single one is more special. And she was just like so excited.
She didn't say that. She?
Yes, she said kids were a blessing. No, she had 4 or 5. She had a bunch.
She had a bunch.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Yeah. I mean, yeah, sure. Yes, they are. But like also, all right. Like, don't tell that to a bunch of angry pregnant people.
Who are hot. It was the summer. It was really hot.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was like New York on a subway, like where I would just leave butt prints everywhere. Hot.
Yeah. Yes. I was just going to say, I was pregnant with my oldest and I gave birth to him September 15th. So I was like crazy pregnant for the summer. Oh, okay. Learned the hard way. Didn't do that again. But yeah, it was the hottest summer on record. It was like, I just remember going into the subway and waiting for the train and being so pregnant and so hot and sweaty. And I would get like Braxton Hicks because it was just like the worst. It was just the worst.
The worst. The worst.
You were in New York when that was happening.
Yeah.
Oh my God, geez.
I had my first 2 kids in New York.
Oh, that's right.
In New York City. Being pregnant in New York City is not fun.
That's no, but at least you walked a lot.
I did walk so much. It's right? True.
That's a really good point.
I like am getting my own hot flashes thinking about being pregnant in the subway, so pregnant in the subway during the summer. So,
the worst. And people would not give up their seats and stuff. Like, it was very like, you chose to be pregnant, so you can probably stand with your
you
choices.
You can deal with it.
Yeah.
What the fuck?
Women would often give their seats up.
Of course. Of course, I mean, they would.
Yeah, that makes like 100% sense.
Yeah.
So by the time I had my second kid, I would just like boss people around more. Like, I would have to, like, for I would have to have the baby strapped to me, and then I would take my oldest in a stroller, and I would always need help getting the stroller up and down all the stairs going in and out of the subway. And I would just wait for a young man. And then I'd be like, hey, can you help me? I need help. Can you help me? And then make him help me.
Yeah.
Good for you.
Yeah.
Good for you. Good for, yeah. My best friend just moved back to the city. She had both of her kids in New York and then moved away and just came back. And I moms in New York City, I am so proud of you.
Yeah. They're hard totally. Work.
You are doing it, and you have all of my respect, because I can barely do it here, and I haven't walked in 7 years since I moved here.
Yes. Which is yes to all of that.
Yeah, man.
A turning point for me, actually, about like wanting to move away from the city was when I was on the subway once and I saw a woman. She had a baby strapped to her front. She had a baby strapped to her back. She had a kid in a stroller.
No.
And she was holding another one by their hand.
Nope.
And she was standing. And I was just like, oh, my God, she's like a pioneer woman, like a woman on the prairie, except with none of like the good, fun parts of being on the prairie. She's in this shitty subway. And I was like, fuck this. Yeah. Like, why is this so hard? I don't want to do this.
Seriously.
But wait a minute. What's good about a prairie? What happens on a prairie that I don't know about, Betsy?
You get to hunt buffalo. Mm-hmm. You get to meet lots of new friends who know a lot about the land and area. You get to make your own
till the land.
You get to till the land. You guys love. I am like obsessed with all those historical reality shows. Do you know what I'm talking about?
No.
Like Drunk History? Does that count?
I mean, it's pretty accurate, so that should count.
No, like PBS made a bunch of them. So one was like Colonial House or something, and like they had all these people. They like dropped them off it's essentially they reenact certain parts of history. So there was one called like 1940s House. They had a whole family living in a house and they recreated the experience of what it was like to live in London during World War II. And so they had them go through like rations and they would have to listen to radio programs. Like everything is realistic. It's like you take a time machine back.
Hold on.
There was one that. Yes.
Do you put a family that isn't realizing that what they're going to be doing is experiencing what it's like to live in the 1940s?
They have like auditioned and they are excited to be there.
Oh.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. So there was one called, I don't know who would do this one, but there was one called Victorian Slum House.
Yes.
It was like Victorian times and you were in this horrible tenement building. And you had to like shit in buckets and it was awful. And all these people wanted to be on it and they all like starved. It was terrible.
I love to shit in a bucket. Put me on the show.
Nothing. I don't have an excuse to shit in a bucket unless I'm on a reality show.
Magical. So good.
So there's like a zillion of them. If that's your jam, listener, you can go on like YouTube and there's a whole bunch. There's like endless different ones, and England makes a bunch of them, and PBS makes it. I just fucking love it.
I love it.
That's awesome. I just love the idea of England being like, we need to bust another one of these out.
They do.
Let's do it, guys. Let's get it going. See what we can do. Let's envision what it looks like in space.
Oh, my God. I wish. Oh, my God. I think there is.
No.
I think there might... I think there's one that I haven't watched, which is like a biosphere one.
Oh.
Which essentially is like
space
house or like future house.
Uh-huh.
It makes sense. Wait. Actually, because BBC is like PBS on steroids, right?
Mm-hmm.
So of course they're like, let's churn this stuff out. It's like, it's kind of educational. It actually is pretty educational, but it doesn't make you feel bad for watching shitty reality TV because you're learning about history.
That's a good way in. I like that.
Right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
When you said, I can only think of like, when you said that, I was like, oh, do you mean Biodome with Pauly Shore?
I'm sure that's how they pitched it. You know that awesome movie we all love, that classic that we all saw?
Early 90s, right?
Oh,
that sounds right.
Yeah, that does sound very right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Biodome. What was the Biodome? Is that the one where Brendan Fraser was the
caveman? No, that's Encino Man.
Oh, right.
I mean, it's possible that they were like, that was such a hit. Let's have these two, Laurel and Hardy, do another movie. Fucking Abbott and Costello, yeah. Pauly Shore and Brendan Fraser.
I love heartthrobs. Heartthrobs.
I think in Biodome, wasn't it one of the Baldwins, though? I think it was one of the Baldwins, right?
I have no idea.
I don't remember either.
Oh, wait. I want to say it was Jim Brewer. Was it Jim Brewer?
Oh.
I'm going to Google it. Look, this is important.
Questions must be answered.
Let's see. Hey, you called it. Stephen Baldwin.
Oh.
Yes. Stephen, is that the one whose daughter is married to Justin Bieber?
I don't know, but this day is getting better and better.
I don't know anything, and Joey Adams, no idea.
And Kylie Minogue. Wow.
Oh.
What a treat. It's from 1996. Wow, that's later than I thought.
Yeah.
Me too.
All right, I'm going to put that away. Otherwise, I'm going to be too interested.
Guess what? Why Mommy Drinks turns to Biodome.
Let me see. Oh, I am right. Yes. That's his daughter who's married to Justin Bieber. Okay.
Ooh. Betsy, I think you're going down a wormhole.
What?
I think you're going down a wormhole.
Pull it back.
Hey, come on back. Come on back.
Oh, hi. Hi.
Hi. No.
It's hard to stay focused these days.
No, yeah. I wonder why. Because you're stuck at home.
Well, here, let me start by telling you something that's been breaking me lately. Let's see. So I've always been a real night owl. Like, just, you know, after years in sort of comedy and entertainment and, you know, doing like 11 p.m. shows and, you know, that sort of thing, my body clock wants to, I kind of want to like stay up until 2 in the morning and then like sleep till 10. That's kind of where my body naturally kind of wants to rest. And I've always been that way, though, even from when I was a kid. So when I had kids, it didn't really change. Like, I still want to stay up all night. And part of it, too, is that I'm an introvert. I like being alone. For the first, you know, like 10 years of my life, I was an only child. So I like being alone and having quiet time to my thoughts. And sometimes I don't even like to go to bed until my husband goes to bed and I have a little alone time even then. But so anyway, so nighttime is like a really, you know, after the kids go to bed, like, I just can't deal like a minute more. Like, a lot of times I'll do bedtime, which is, you know, with three little boys, like, it's already kind of like insane and chaotic and kind of a nightmare, even on like a good day. Because it's just like, how many times can I say, like, please stop dancing with your brother and go brush your teeth? Like, did you brush your teeth? Can you brush your teeth? Could you please?
I like the inflection, the actual, like, making it a question. Did you brush your teeth?
Oh, hey, I see you. At no point have you disappeared into the bathroom for 2 minutes, but you won't stop talking. Please go brush your fucking... Yeah, so it's just... it's so... And it, like, people... these kids should be able to go up and do all this shit on their own anyway. You know, like, they should be able to go upstairs. I should be able to say, like, go upstairs and get ready for bed, and I'll see you in, like, half an hour. But that's not how shit goes down, because then nothing would happen. So we have to go up there and, like, you know, watch them like jail wardens while they get ready and like remind them 100 times to do shit.
While you're literally in the bathroom with them and you're they're looking at themselves in the mirror and you're like, have you started brushing? You're not brushing your teeth.
You're not. Yeah.
Where's your
toothpaste? Oh,
my God. Yes. Your toothpaste?
For real. Or like a lot of times the two oldest they'll sort of park their. So we have a Quip. Hey, Quip, could you be a sponsor, please? They have like kids' Quip toothbrushes, which are like kind of, they're like a regular toothbrush, but it just kind of vibrates a little. But so they'll stick it, they'll kind of like park it in their cheek, and then they'll like amble into the bedroom so that they can talk and dance and fuck around. And so, like, of course, their front teeth look insane, like Crypt Keeper, like insane. Like, their front teeth are so dirty. And a big part of it, I think, is because they don't brush their teeth in the mirror. They just park it in their cheek and then they walk around. And I don't know if they even are like brushing the front of their teeth. But at 8 and 9, they're at a point where I can't. It's really hard to be like, hey, I'm going to brush your teeth for you.
Yeah, right.
You are so bad at it.
Get them to draw pictures of their teeth, or you should draw pictures of their teeth and then show them what their molars and their side teeth look like. These big, bright, white, shiny teeth.
You know what I've been doing, actually, is that I've been showing Bo, I thought this was going to help, like pictures of really gross teeth of people like that don't take care of it, of them. Oh. And I was like, oh, yeah, this is like scared straight shit, you know?
Yeah.
But Bo is like demented like me, and she loves it. She's like, ew, look at that one. Oh, that guy's a tooth coming out of his eye. No. Like, loves it. So it completely backfired.
Completely backfired.
That's hilarious. I feel that, Bo. I feel you. Yeah, I think I have to like print off a bunch of pictures of like nice smiles and like put them all over the. I don't want to give my kids a complex about their looks, but I want them to be like interested in having nice teeth.
Yeah.
Because it gets to a point where I'll say crazy shit like, you're never going to get married if you don't.
You won't find a partner if your teeth are not clean.
That I'm like, if you don't take good care of your teeth, no one nice will want to marry you. And then, oh my God, I'm the worst. So anyway, this is all like so off track. So when bedtime is finally over, I'm like, I am done. Like, mic drop. I'm out of here. Like, I don't want to read any books. I don't want to get anyone. Like, then there's always like 100 requests for like lunch meat and cheese sticks and ice cubes in a cup and like all just crazy shit. And I'm just like, I can't. I have to go downstairs. I have to be away alone. So lately the kids have been staying up. It's usually the older two. We'll stay up really late. So we try to leave their room at like 8:30, but usually we're not done until like 9. And already I'm like, oh God, because I want to get into bed at like 11 at the latest. Like 11 is really good for me. I usually have to like take a sleeping pill to make that work. Because I just can't naturally fall asleep before midnight. Just I can't. So I need time to myself to like relax, get things done. And lately the kids keep coming downstairs until like 11:30 p.m. and it's awful because I don't get that like child-free, like adult time to just chill out and
stare at a wall. Like,
yeah, or like watch something violent and, you know, on TV or, you know, that's the other thing. Like, I can't watch stuff if people are coming in and out and stuff. So anyway, that's been really breaking me. Like last night, I think there were kids coming downstairs still at like 11:45. And so I end up staying up super late to compensate. And then, of course, I get up to do like school and stuff, and I'm exhausted. And so I'm just in this, you know, I'm sure you all know about melatonin gummies for kids.
Mm-hmm. For kids. No, I didn't know that.
Okay. So, I mean, I don't know how responsible this is, but I'm just going to say mom hack.
Mom hack.
Melatonin gummies. So you can give your kids gummies, and it's essentially like giving your kid a sleeping pill, and they work, and it's amazing. But you can't give someone melatonin all the time, because then it kind of stops working. And with kids, I guess what the problem is, according to a pediatrician that I've spoken to, when they found out I did that, they were like, their bodies will stop producing melatonin naturally, and then like you'll fuck their sleep up for life. So I'm like, okay, like we can't give them these melatonin gummies all the time. But anyway, they're amazing. They're amazing. If you ever really need your kid to like sleep, or like for a flight or whatever, like they're amazing.
Truth bomb. Yeah. I tried the whole Benadryl route on a plane once.
Yes.
It doesn't work on my kid. And it doesn't make her, because some people are like, don't do it because you don't know if they're going to get crazy bonkers or if they'll go to sleep. She doesn't get crazy bonkers, but she just doesn't fucking sleep on an airplane. Like she never slept in her car seat, and she wouldn't sleep on an airplane. She just sleeps in her bed.
Oh no, that's
it's hard.
I'm so sorry, Jordan.
Thank you.
That's hard.
Wait, just her bed? So, like, if you guys are on a trip, she can't sleep. Like, does she not sleep when you guys are away? Or
no, she really likes her own space, and she has since she was a little teeny tiny baby. And she also is like a super fan of really dark, but she also is like afraid of the dark. So she has to have this really bright nightlight. But we recently got her an eye mask. And so now she can have a really bright nightlight, yet she still pulls her eye mask on over her eyes when she's about to go to sleep. So it's pitch black.
Nice.
Yeah, I mean, it's great, but it's also like, just turn your nightlight off, right? It'll be fine.
a 5-year-old in a night mask.
I mean, it's like the cutest thing in the world, going in and checking on her at night, and she's like sprawled out like with this little eye mask over her face, and she keeps it on all night most of the time.
I picture her having one of those eye masks that have like little kitschy sayings like, but first coffee or whatever. Yes! You know.
She keeps asking for a unicorn one. She has just a basic blue one right now.
Oh. Unacceptable, Mom.
I know. I'm sorry. I'm failing.
If we're going to be high maintenance, let's go all the way.
Just double down. Yes.
Yeah. My favorite are the ones that have eyes on them.
Mm-hmm. Or like ones winking.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's okay. So anyway, yeah. So I don't know what to do, because my kids, I can't give them sleeping pills all the time, and they're. But I want them to go to bed so that I can be alone, and then also not stay up until 100 o'clock, because I just need to be alone, and that's my story. It's possible I just need to get like a TV in my bedroom, which I've never wanted to do.
I know. I'm afraid of doing that too, because I think I read somewhere that it, like, your bedroom should be your sacred quiet place. Mm-hmm. And if I had a TV in here, I would have fucking 90 Day Fiance on 24/7, son, because I yes. love that show. Oh my god.
Yeah.
I can't. So
yeah, there's other there are things I should be doing in my bed,
mm-hmm.
and I wouldn't be doing any of those things if I had a TV in there, I think.
Yeah, apparently you're also like not supposed to read in bed, but I'm like, I want to read in bed. That's comfortable. Yeah.
You're not supposed to read in bed? Why?
Because you're technically, people say you're only supposed to like sleep and you know what else in bed.
Cry and fart.
Cry and fart. Cry and fart. Cry and fart. Cry and fart. That's code words.
You know what? Cry.
Yes, exactly. That's what I'm afraid. I'm afraid if I have a TV in my room, I won't cry and fart as often as I feel like I should.
It definitely will get in the way of crying and farting if you have a TV in your room. If we're being clear.
Yeah, that is what they say. They say. But like, yeah, I guess your body has like a Pavlovian response to being in the bed. And they say if you do anything else except cry and fart, that your body won't want to sleep when it gets into the bed. It'll just be like, oh, it's party time. My bed is where I read and watch TV and all sorts of stuff. But apparently if you don't do those things, then you can just get into bed and your whole body's like right away. Sleep hygiene. Am I right?
You are.
Am I right, ladies?
You are.
Yeah. Sleep hygiene. Is that a phrase?
Yeah. That is a phrase.
Oh.
I know. Like, I didn't know it either. I like it.
It's like all the good things. You're supposed to have good sleep hygiene. Like, you know, get ready before you're sleepy and like get into bed and like.
Don't look at your phone.
There you go. I'm the worst at that.
So am I. Oh,
of course. Everyone is.
I mean, yeah. that is your alone time, is when you're like laying in bed before you're falling asleep and you're like, I have to mindlessly scroll for a little while so I can shut down.
Yeah.
And the blue light is just hitting your brain and you're like, oh, now I can't calm down.
Yeah.
How do we get alone time?
I don't know. I don't know.
That's what I'm struggling with.
I need my own house. I think that's what it is.
For realsies. Yes. Yeah.
I hate to say it. I hate this phrase, but maybe I need a she shed.
Ooh.
A she shed. Oh, boy.
She shed. What?
She shed. Huh? What is this thing? It's for a she and it's a shed.
Oh, I love it. I love it.
I love the alliteration.
That's the mommy man cave?
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, mommy man cave, that's not bad either.
No, okay. I like mommy man cave a lot.
You do like it?
I do like it.
Man cave, I don't know what that phrase like bums me out. I can't explain why.
Yeah, I mean, I don't like the concept of a man cave. Like if someone is trying to pitch it, if they're like, let's do a remodel. And you know what? Down here, we're going to make a man cave for you. Wait, what are you doing? You're just making a, wait, hold on. Is it just a space that's like dark and you're, what do you do in this man cave?
Maybe that's what I don't like. I don't like a room that's like gendered. Like this is a boys only clubhouse or like, can't we just, what you're really saying, you don't want a man cave. You want your own room is what you're saying.
Exactly.
That everyone else has to share, but you get your own room.
And there's a secret knock code that you have to have in order to be let into this room that is my room. If you don't know it, get the fuck out.
I feel like if you have a man cave, you have to have one of those like beer signs that like a neon beer sign.
Yeah.
And like a bar, like a lounge
and
chair.
like a deer head on the wall.
Yes.
Lots of dark paneling, sports, like someone's jersey is in a frame.
Because,
you know, at the end of the day, your wife will do all the work to make it.
She probably decorated it for you, so.
Yes.
Kathy Ireland poster.
Yes. The theme is man.
Go.
Oh.
Life has been a little overwhelming lately. Right? We don't all have the support system in place that we normally do, and you might be feeling less happy and productive than normal. And you might be thinking, maybe it's time to talk to somebody so that you can start living your best life. BetterHelp is a safe and private online environment. They will assess your needs and match you with your own licensed professional therapist. And you can send a message to your counselor at any time and you'll get timely and thoughtful responses. Plus, you can schedule weekly video or phone sessions. And this is all without having to leave your house, you know, find parking, sit in an uncomfortable waiting room, get a babysitter, all of that. BetterHelp is available for clients worldwide. And there's a broad range of expertise available, which might not even be available in your area. They have licensed professional counselors who specialize in depression, stress, anxiety, relationships, sleeping, trauma, family conflicts, grief, anger, self-esteem, LGBT matters. It's professional, convenient, and it's more affordable than traditional online counseling, and financial aid is available. Everything you share is confidential. So many people have been going to BetterHelp that they are recruiting additional counselors in all 50 states. So I want you to start living a happier life today. So as a Why Mommy Drinks listener, you're going to get 10% off your first month of online counseling by visiting betterhelp.com/drinks. Join over 1 million people taking charge of their mental health. Again, that's BetterHelp, HELP.com/drinks. So, Amy, what's broken you? Please do tell.
I will. I'm going to tell.
Thank goodness.
That's why I'm here. I hope so. So two things, actually. The first one is not necessarily kid related. It is.
I don't have to be.
Okay. Well, I have a rash on my neck, and.
What? Do tell. How?
Listen, guys.
Okay.
Listen. It is fucking ruining my life. I mean, I'm being dramatic, but also I'm not. So maybe a month ago, I was like, oh, my neck's a little itchy, weird. All right, ignore it, like everything else and all my other feelings. Mm-hmm. And then I
push it down with food and alcohol. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes, my favorite things. And then a few days later, it was like kind of red, like the galine. You know, so I call my dermatologist and we do like an, you know, over the FaceTime telehealth or whatever the fuck they call it. And she goes, oh, okay, looks like you have a rash in your neck folds. And I was like, fuck you. Excuse me. I don't have a fold in my fucking neck. You, where do you even get your
doctor?
Great, quote unquote. And I go, oh, thank you. And then she, the best part was that she was like, well, have you been sweating a lot? And I'm like, fucking, of course. And then,
we live in Los Angeles and it's summer.
Yeah. But I'm like a very sweaty person anyway, but I, frankly, but then she asked if I had been, scrunching up my face and resting my chin on my chest, like who does that. She's okay. Like, do you do this regularly? And I'm like, who the fuck does
wait
that?
Did she pause do it second. For you? Did she show you what she was talking about?
Yes. Okay. She like smashed her face up, so it was very bizarre. And what? I'm like, has anyone what ever you, said yes
what you are describing is what we all do when we look at our phone, and we just were talking about how that's the only thing we can do to be alone. We all are looking down at our fucking chest all the time because mm-hmm. we're like, looks like
we should looks like I don't know. We're giving someone an apology.
It's a phoneitis. Necrophoneitis.
She's like, phoneitis. Do you?
No, but okay. What you're how you're describing it is normal. The way that she showed it was like. Like she had no neck and her chin and her chest like had a fucking thing happening. And like, it wasn't nothing that anyone has ever done. Anyway, it started off like that. And like, it has only gotten worse. And since then, I cannot stop thinking about my neck folds. And so I keep going through these old pictures.
Now it's like stress related because she's given you stress.
Yes. She's like, yeah, she gave you a complex
about my folds. And I was like, I never noticed my neck before. I mean, I'm 41. Like, I know that this is the thing that women start to go fuck about. But, like, I've never looked at my neck. And then now all I do is look at how foldy my neck is all day.
Right. I mean, pardon me, but, like, fuck that lady.
I just like, I wish that she'd used a different word than folds.
Yeah, fold. Yeah, because it makes it sound like you're like a normal, like, proportioned person, and then you have like this Michelin man neck.
Yeah, exactly. And I was like, so now I just try to, like, every time I look at my phone, I, like, hold it up really high. And now then I'm going to have folds in the back. It's a nightmare.
Now you're doing that. Like, when people tell you to take a photo, like, as you're prepping for, like, your wedding or something, they're like, turtleneck it, stick your face out, make your neck long.
No one's ever told me to do that.
Yeah,
go on. What are they telling you to do? Well,
tell me more about your long, beautiful foldless neck.
They fold less neck. This is how you get a fold less neck. You turtle. Okay.
You turtle it.
It's just like you stick out. I mean, you guys should see what I am doing right now. You just like stick out your neck over your like up and out, like towards your like another person. And like drop your shoulders and like stick out. And that way you can avoid any such fold. And your chin looks great in photos.
Holy shit.
Well, it's so uncomfortable though.
I mean, I'm trying to do it. It feels like if I do it any longer, my head is going to fall off.
Yeah. I just took a picture. And it looks like I'm trying to do like a bad Godfather impersonation.
I think we all should try to do it and take pictures.
Okay, I just did it. I took a picture. Yeah. Nope. Still very foldy. I don't know, guys.
I hear that. Like getting older, especially I notice it in photos. Like all of a sudden I have these lines that are across my neck that weren't there in years past. It's horrible.
Well, also, I'm getting this like notice.
I'm getting like a waddle under my chin.
No, you're not. No,
I am. It's terrible. So like, I feel like I'm gonna look older than I actually am because I'll have this like turkey neck. Whatever.
How do we make that not be a thing? There's no way you can't, right? Like,
well, I mean, come on, let's step away from it. We're organic matter, right? So
yes.
I don't know.
Your body is organic matter and it will unfortunately decompose with time. So this is the aging process.
Do you mean from the moment we're born, we're dying? Is that what you're trying to say?
That is what I'm trying to say. From the moment you breathe, you're dying.
Oh, jeez.
Took a turn.
It's just gotten dark.
Well, yeah, on one hand, yeah, I'm like, I should get liposuction under, you know, and on the other hand, I'm like, you know what? The apocalypse is coming. It's fine.
I know. Who cares?
I'm sorry. It's here.
It's here. No, it's here.
It's definitely here.
Wait, so Amy, what was the other thing that was not your neck that was driving you crazy?
But wait, is this rash? Do you have something to put on it? Are you okay?
Oh, yeah.
Yes. So I had to have another telehealth, my third telehealth appointment with her today, and she's sending me like a stronger medication. No, she just said it was a neck fold rash. I don't know. But she did send me something. But it's like, I need something stronger because apparently my folds are real deep and they hold a lot of rash. Okay. I don't know. But pretty gross. And
I'm trying to detective this and I'm like, Did you start using new shampoo? Are you using new lotions? Did your detergent change? I know, that's what she asked
me. Actually, she did tell me, and I've been using spray sunscreen all over my body for years and years and years. And apparently, your body develops allergies to things after a while, and I am now allergic to spray sunscreen from CVS.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Weird.
Well. Yeah, I don't know. I think it's related to the stress and just the fact that, like, we're indoors and, you know, life is a nightmare right now.
Yeah.
So
it's a big old capital S stress.
Yes.
I got a weird rash all over my chest and back, and I just the top part of my back, and I don't know what it is. It's really weird. I hear you. I'm just, you have it now? Yeah. I don't know what happened.
Is it itchy?
No.
Is it weeping? No, I'm just kidding. Don't tell Hold me. On. Tell me privately.
Tell us everything.
Well, I'm sorry about your neck folds.
Me too.
I shouldn't laugh when I say
Look, if you can't laugh at my neck folds, then let's just walk into the ocean together, because fuck. The kid stuff is the Zoom kindergarten.
We haven't started yet. I'm nervous.
Oh, you haven't started yet? Oh.
Do you have like sorry. When are you start? Are you starting like in the future, or are you going to be like, we're starting fuck this for a year?
No, we're going to try. We're doing our school starts a week from yesterday.
Okay.
So I got to be honest. I'm learning everything I can from everything y'all ladies have been through.
Yeah.
Well, it's much better than it was in the spring.
Oh, that's so right, because you had to deal with it in the spring.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that was a nightmare.
I'm sure.
Total shit show. It wasn't the teacher's fault or anything. We were all making it up as we went, and it was a fucking nightmare. And, you know, we were all reeling from what was going on and stuff. But yeah, so it's a lot better now. It's not perfect, but it's better.
I do want to acknowledge it. The teachers and the administrators of Bowes School are so great. Yeah. And they're so, I mean, they're just, the fact that they don't burst into tears the second they log on every day is so impressive to me. Like, they actually smile, and like, it gives us a sense of like, okay, it'll be fine.
You have it under control. We're okay.
Yeah. And I really 100%. Appreciate that.
Yeah, right? I'm sure so hard to do, and it's so wonderful that they can do it with a smile.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't, I'm not doing anything with a smile ever again, I think.
No, never. Remember, we're in the apocalypse.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
It's fine. So how is homeschool, how is it going, Amy? It's breaking you.
Yeah, because kindergarten is, you know, obviously all about socialization. And of course, you know, I've been hearing that like socialization basically at this age, it really can just be with anyone. And like, we do have like a pod family that we hang out with. So I feel like she's getting that. But it's just the fact that like, I'm raising myself. Like she and I are so similar the way that it's like, I would just get so fucking bored in school. Like, and basically at five, she's on Zoom and she's like, this isn't real. Like, she took her shirt off in class the other day.
Oh, Bo, I love you.
And I had to be like, honey, put on, you can't, please. Oh God. And so I'm like, and you know, I'm in the class with her because obviously if she were in this live class, they have teachers and aides walking around being like, okay, you know, this is how you write this sentence or whatever. And so Bo will just be like, fuck this shit. Like, she just gets bored. Yeah. And so she just starts doing her own thing. And I'm like, honey, are you following the direction? She was like, I don't want to. And I'm like, I don't want to either, dude. No one wants to. Yeah, I really appreciate
it. I don't want to be in kindergarten right now, but I'm here.
I am here. Yes. And it's like, you know, I feel so awful for everyone that's going through this. It's like such a fucking nightmare. But I also want to be like, man, can I just like fucking not be conscious or tuned in for like 15 fucking minutes? Because yeah. I can't even like disengage for a second, because if I don't keep her on, she's learning how to learn, you know, she's yeah. learning how to learn. And it's a habit, and it's, you know, that she has to, it's a skill. And so I have to be there to make sure that she's on task. And I had this whole like fantasy that I was going to be able to, like, you know, maybe write a novel when she was just kidding. I would never do that. But like, you know, like actually like look at my emails or like just have a moment. No, not, I'm basically sitting next to her the entire time, and it's not her fault. But yeah, so that's kind of breaking me. Like the other day at recess, quote unquote, she left the room and I just sat and cried yeah. and cried, because yeah. it's so hard.
Yeah. Ugh. I mean, we're just facilitating. I mean, first of all, I'm really grateful that, like, Amy, you and I are in the situation that our kids have not done school before, so they know no different. Mm. And like, Betsy, I can't imagine, like, your two are like, this isn't school. What is this?
Yeah.
This isn't normal. And it's also like, we're facilitating homeschool.
Yeah.
Right. Like, that's why we yeah. have to be engaged the whole time, because there's not a authoritarian, you know, there's not like a figure in the front of the room. Mm-hmm. They're not in a space that is school. They're in their home. And we have to be like, okay, well, how do I make this your comfortable school space at yeah. our living room table?
Oh my right. God. And Lord help you if your internet, like, our internet kept going out. We had to buy like a new fucking whatever. And so it would go out. And instead of being like, the internet is out, and then like waiting for my husband to turn it on, like he would just, my 8-year-old would just be like, he would just walk away. He would just walk away from his desk yeah. and like fuck around. And then like 10 minutes later, my husband or I would be like, wait, what are you doing? Why are you here on the couch? And then he would be like, the internet's out. And we're like, we reset the internet. You should go. You have to sign back into class. Like, he kept just leaving, like wandering off. It's awful.
Yeah. Well, right. And my son will like bust in, you know, like, so my daughter never wears a shirt and my son never wears pants. And so nice. They're just like, it's magical. But my son will like just bust in the room and stand in front of the screen. And then the teacher would be like, oh, look, Bo has a visitor. And I just like, I don't even have the strength to like pull him away anymore. Yeah. I'm like, learn it too.
Well, then, because then the whole time all you're doing is Charlie, yeah. Hey, yeah. Charlie, come.
Yeah. Charlie.
Yeah. Charlie. Yeah. At the end of the day, one. Like, it is what it is, right? Like, we mm-hmm. are, we're at home. This person yeah. lives here too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We yeah. are in shared space.
This yeah. person lives here and he does not have pants on. You're welcome.
My husband has been going crazy because our kid keeps shushing him because our kid's at class. He's in school. And my husband will be like, wah, 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 wah. And then he'll be like, I can't hear my teacher. And he's like, ugh. Like, he gets so mad. It's like, well, we are in his classroom.
Right. This space is his classroom. So he does yeah. have a point, and it's allowed.
Yeah.
That does make me insane. There's always like, I feel like in this class, there's a couple of kids that they're older than, they're almost a whole year older than Bo. And like, they know how to like unmute once the teacher mutes them. And oh my God, the thoughts that run through my head, I'm like, that little motherfucker, he just did it again. Like, I'm just watching him. And like, so like a speaker view always flashes to whoever that is.
Oh no.
And I just am like, I hate how stressed out I am about it. I want to be like so chill and be like, this is cool. I love this experience. I am like, I hate it so far. I have like, I made an enemy in my mind with another kid in my daughter's class. I'm like, I have told people I fucking hate this kid. I don't know this kid.
Right. You know his face on a computer and you're just like, this fucking kid is ruining my life.
Yes, I hate him. I have like thought about him like late at night, like when I'm scrolling mindlessly, I'm like, that, I bet that little bitch is fucking unmuting himself somewhere. God, like so insane.
Ladies, I'm afraid my daughter is going to be that. She like
right.
knows how to unmute herself, and she's always like, can I put a fun background on my Zoom? And I'm like, right. no, Elliot, no, you can't. We have to pay attention in school. Okay. So computer school, which is what we're calling it.
Yes.
School, you're not allowed to unmute yourself if you're muted, and there are no backgrounds.
Yes. There's no way she's going to be like this kid. I promise you.
Okay, good.
Promise
my
you.
Kids okay, do good. That
I'm
going
to hold you to that.
Your kids in do that? Yeah.
In the spring, they would get in trouble all the time, and the teacher would be like, you have to turn your camera off, like, or, like they weren't, like, even allowed, because they would go into the chat and be, like, just saying all sorts of crazy shit that didn't even make any sense to anyone else, and, like, they would, like, dance in front of the camera or, like, turn the microphone on and be like, and then turn it off. Like, it was not – they kept getting in trouble. And, like, yeah, but you can't be standing over, like, a seven-year-old for hour. I don't know. I don't know what the – I don't know what the solution is.
Yeah.
You gotta do it. Can you just – it's crazy, though, to sit there the whole – oh, I don't know. Yeah, I just tell – I tell my four-and-a-half-year-old to just – I'm like, here's Khan Academy kids on an iPad. Like, please go learn something. And then
– And then your hall monitor.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. Ay-yay-yay. So Jordan, please tell us, what has broken you? What has driven you to drink?
It wasn't drinking that it drove me to, but anyway,
was it murder? Did it drive you to murder? Yes.
Ladies, I have a confession to make. this was Elliot's five, and so when she was like just two, maybe a little over two. My husband Rory really pushed pretty hard for a puppy, and I had a girlfriend in Las Vegas who had rescued a labradoodle, an adult labradoodle female, brought her into her home because she already had an adult labradoodle, and a month into this new female being in her life, took her to the doctor, and the doctor's like, oh, she's really pregnant. And they had no idea. I know. They had no idea. And then they had a litter of this dog had a litter of 10 puppies.
Wow.
So she had these most beautiful, fluffy, adorable labradoodle puppies. And I showed it to Rory, and he had already been like, we should get a dog. We should totally get a dog. We've already talked about getting a dog. Let's get a dog. We should do it. Mind you, neither one of us have ever had a dog.
Oh,
ever.
What?
So we see these puppies and we're like, yeah, let's do it. And I emailed her and I was like, I think we will drive to Las Vegas to take one of these puppies when you're ready. And so we road trip to Vegas. We got a puppy. We named her Maple. She was
Maple, like a leaf.
Maple, like the leaf.
That's very
she was
cute.
Scrumptious. And she was too much for us. And my husband's also a stand-up comic, so he was on the road all the time. Mm-hmm. So I have a 2-year-old and a 10-week-old puppy when I've never taken care of a dog before in my life.
Oh my God.
And it drove me to truly, I was living on CBD and coffee.
Yeah.
I was taking, like every morning I was like, here's some CBD. Let's try to calm the fuck down. Dog, stop. Don't pee on the floor. Elliot, do not, no, don't touch. Don't go near it. I mean, literally every day.
You're already trying to teach a human how to be a human for the first time. And then you're also trying to teach a dog
who doesn't understand English.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This dog speaks Portuguese.
Most of them do. And I am unfortunately not fluent in Portuguese.
I love the way you worded that. That was magical.
But so like then, now you have to teach a dog how to be a dog and you don't know how to do that either at the same that's a nightmare.
Solo parenting. It was like I had a newborn. It was a newborn and a 2-year-old and I was like way in over my head. And it got to a point where we were like, you know what? We can't do this. This is the wrong dog for us. And
yeah.
Our nanny like hated dogs. So we would, when she came to watch Elliot, we would put her in this like teeny tiny, like 3x8 space in our kitchen. And the nanny wouldn't take her out. The nanny wouldn't walk her, which I get, like, that's not her job. Her job is to take care of my daughter. And it was so hard. It was heartbreaking. And then at 3 months, we were like, I think we need to part with Maple. And so we had to like teach the lesson to our daughter that like, we give you something and then we take it away. We're so sorry.
I'm so sorry.
Because they have it was hard.
And you keep peeing on the floor, Elliot, look what might happen.
Just so you know, I will rub your nose in it, and then if you keep doing it, we will give you to another family.
Were you sending your husband like insane texts? Because that's what I would have done. Like,
oh yeah,
this fucking dog, you wanted this dog.
Yeah,
you know?
Oh yeah. I don't know that I ever was like, you wanted this dog, until like he finally realized, maybe like 6 months to a year after we had given Maple away, he was like, you know what? That was on me. I forced us into getting a dog, and I am sorry for that. I am so sorry for that.
It had to feel good to hear that.
It did. I was like, oh, at least he recognizes what the problem is. So
yeah.
Yeah, but it was really hard.
And so wait, so what did Elliot, like, did she...
Well, we have pictures. We have this huge picture wall in our hallway that, like, we printed off of, like, Social Print Studio, those teeny tiny, like, Instagram squares.
Oh, yeah.
It's, like, covering an entire, like, 8x5 wall. And we have pictures of Maple, and we talk about her. And we're in contact with the family still, so they'll send us pictures of her every so often. And, you know, she's okay with it. We all kind of like get a little sad about it, but we talk about when we get another dog, and like the next dog we get is definitely going to be housebroken and will be older. And, you know, we're kind of sticking our feet back in now about getting another dog.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, now yeah. It would make a lot more sense.
Yeah. I mean, she understands, and she talks about how now she's like, well, the dog will be my responsibility and I'll take care of it. And we're like,
God bless. Yeah, a puppy is hardcore.
I mean, what are we thinking?
It's a newborn dog.
I mean,
yeah, at least if it was an older dog, like, it wouldn't be necessarily like peeing in the house and biting your feet every time you walked around, or, you know. Yeah.
Maple also, we were playing in the backyard and I had to go to urgent care, and I thought I needed stitches because she bit my arm instead of her toy, and her little baby teeth like slashed my wrist. And I was like, cool. This is a cool life investment here. Thank you.
Puppies so glad crazy. They have like crazy little needle teeth. They really
needle hurt. Teeth.
When our dog, we no longer have a dog, but when we did have a dog, and he was a puppy, like what Maple, oh my God, like what Maple was. Maple was a puppy, and then Maple this was is a also puppy, an puppy example puppy. Of a puppy. he used to love to, if I was wearing socks, he would bite my socks and he wanted to take them away. And so essentially he was like biting my my feet all the time with his little needle teeth. And it made me so insane.
Yeah.
we went to go. Like, Ari, come get that dog. He's driving
me crazy. Get that dog away from me.
Go on, Darren.
We went to go visit Maple after we had given her away at the family house. And like she remembered who we were. And it was it was heartbreaking and sad because like a dog doesn't know. A dog's like, oh, you're my people, and then now you're not my people. And then all of a sudden you're back. And it's like, no, we're just saying hi. We just wanted to come see you.
Oh, that must have hurt your heart so much. That must have been really hard.
Yeah, I think that maybe I took it a lot harder than anyone else in the family when we gave her away. Like, I cried about it, and then going to see her, I was like, it's our little baby.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Well, because it affected you the most. I mean, that's rough. I'm so sorry.
Hard. That's okay.
It's when I was everyone a little wants kid. A puppy.
I know.
Everyone cute. Wants a puppy. Well, this made me think when I was like maybe 8 or 9, we were living in the Bay Area and we got a puppy, and a few months in, it wasn't working out. The same thing. Like she like scratched my brother or bit him or something, accidentally, but whatever. And my dad decided to give her away. It sounds to me that you handled this like with Elliot really well, because my only memory is like a new family, full family, coming into my house, picking up my dog and taking her away in like a station wagon and waving goodbye in that big back window, like the 80s station wagons. I swear it was like the fuck. And I was like, I remember thinking like, oh no, this is going to stick with me for sure. Yeah. No, this is probably.
Yeah. This is going to be one of those life moments that I take into everything I do.
I bet I'm going to date some bad dudes because of this.
Exactly.
Yeah.
This will lead to bad choices.
For sure. Yeah. So it sounds like you at least handled it in like a very loving way. And she was on board with it. So that's good.
Yeah. I mean, I hope, right? We won't know until she's like 30 and in therapy. So
she's dating a guy in prison. And whoops.
Oops, that was us. That was Maple. That was our Maple choice.
Jordan, is there anything that you would like to promote while you were here? Can you tell everyone where to find you on social media and all that jazz?
I am on Instagram and my handle, I think it's either Jordan B. Scoville. I think that's what it is. Or it's JB Scoville. Not 100% sure. I'm not real good at this social media thing. But I am in, my husband did a show on Comedy Central called Robbie. And I play a character. I play Karen. I'm in 3 episodes. And you can find that on Comedy Central's YouTube channel. And it's called Robbie.
Robbie.
Awesome.
Robbie. Yeah. Me and Rory don't like each other. And so it was real fun to play the person who like gives him the hardest time, because I joked on set. I was like, this is like couples therapy. Thanks, guys.
Yeah.
It was fun.
Awesome. So Robbie on YouTube, on the Comedy Central channel on YouTube. And really quick, what's it about?
Robbie is a church league basketball coach, trying to be the high school basketball coach. And in the pilot, he learns that he has a 10-year-old biracial son, and it takes place in the South. So
It's really great.
That sounds awesome.
Yeah, it's really great.
Great. Excellent. Yeah. Amy, is there anything you want to tell people to check out or find you on social media?
Oh boy, do I ever. No, you can find, I'm on Insta also at Amy Albert Cobb. And I'm still, you know, with the Pump and Dump show, even though we're not touring now. So if you guys know about the Pump and Dump show, Band of Mothers Media, they have Instagram, Band of Mothers, I believe. Band of Mothers on Instagram and the Pump and Dump show. So we have like little things that we're doing on there if you want to check that out.
Oh, very cool. So even though the Band of Mothers Pump and Dump show isn't touring currently because of the pandemic, you're still making content on their Instagram page?
Yeah, we're just trying to stay engaged with as many moms as possible just to like, you know, because the show is just like a big hug for the audience. And so we big just want to just let everyone know that we're with you.
You're in it. You're in it with them.
Yes.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, great. Everyone check that out. Amy.
Yeah.
You're doing a great job, buddy. Keep it up.
Thank you. You know.
Yeah. Distance learning sucks.
Oh, it sucks butts.
It sucks so many butts.
Yes.
Jordan, you are doing a great job.
Thank you.
You listened to yourself. You paid attention to your limitations and you accepted it, which is really hard to do.
Thank you. It is. It is hard to go, oh, gut check, this isn't working.
Yeah.
So, thank you.
You always want to just like work, just like, I'll just make it happen. And you're like, no, this is not happening. And it hurts to fix, but it's right to fix it. That's hard to do.
Yeah, thank you. You're doing a fucking incredible job.
Thanks, Jordan.
You know, you're getting your space where you can get it, even if you get an hour of sleep at night.
That's true. This is true. I don't know if an hour of sleep makes me a good mom, but at least that extra time alone helps.
Let's call it an experiment. Life is an experiment right now.
This whole thing is a life experiment. Yeah.
Yeah. You're both doing an amazing job. I'm so proud of both of you.
Thanks, Amy.
Now let's get off this little talk and go cry by ourselves. Anyone else?
It's got to be 5 o'clock somewhere, right?
There we go. Well, everyone listening, thank you so much for joining us, and just know that you are doing a great job.
My Mommy Drinks.
Have you ever encountered an unexplained hairy bipedal hominid in the woods?
Have you received telepathic messages from an unidentified aerial phenomenon?
If so, then you need to listen to Bigfoot Collectors Club. I'm Michael McMillan.
And I'm Bryce Johnson.
And together with super producer
Riley Bray,
we make up the Bigfoot Collectors Club.
That's right. Every week we talk to actors, comedians, writers, and paranormal experts about their personal paranormal histories and share stories of high strangeness.
Like the time when we talked to Craig Ferguson about the Loch Ness Monster and when a sea witch told him he had raven magic.
Or the time I asked Pitch Perfect's Anna Camp her opinion on cattle mutilations. Past guests have included Rachel Bloom, Jen Kirkman, Paul F. Tompkins, Bobcat Goldthwait, and more.
So if you've ever been abducted alongside five reindeer by an alien with drills for hands or witnessed Bigfoot crawl out of an interdimensional portal,
don't laugh, happens all the time.
Then check out Bigfoot Collectors Club on Campfire Media or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bigfoot Collectors Club, you're here to believe us.
Wait, is that how it goes?
Campfire.